This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington, sitting in for Neil Conan. When the Massachusetts Supreme Court ruled recently that banning gay marriage is a violation of the state's constitution, it opened up something of a political Pandora's box for presidential candidates. In a way that's more prominent than ever before, those running for president are being asked to take a stand on the question of gay marriage. It's an issue that either party could possibly use to its advantage. On the other hand, it's so controversial that both parties may do everything they can to avoid it. Today on Talk of the Nation, gay marriage and election year politics, the first in our series, Who Owns This Issue? We'll be looking at how certain issues might play out in the coming months and how both parties are positioning themselves for the best results. So how important is gay marriage to you? This is not about whether you approve or disapprove of gay marriage. It's about whether you want it to be front and center throughout the election season. And which political party do you think has the most to gain on this issue? Join the conversation. Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. And with us here in Studio 3A is Andrew Kohut. He's the director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. The Pew Center conducted a national survey last October on Americans' views about homosexuality and gay marriage. Thanks for being with us, Andy.
Happy to be with you, Lynn.
Good to see you again. Now, first of all, let's talk a little bit about what this means. Political strategists refer to issues like gay marriage as wedge issues. What do they mean by that?
These are issues that can be used to do one of two things. One, rally the faithful, get them out to vote because their candidate takes the right position on an issue. It motivates the constituency. The other thing it can do is it can bring out swing voters who are single-issue voters, people who feel very strongly about this. Gun control is an example of a wedge issue. And maybe some of the swing states that went to Bush in 2000, such as New Hampshire or Arizona, which were very close states, might have gone to him because the Republicans used gun control and opposition to gun control to get white males out to vote in favor of Bush and against Al Gore. Even though gun control wasn't much of an issue in the campaign, it was utilized politically. And that could be the case with gay marriages.
So it can be important.
It can be important.
See if you can explain for us how a political party might use an issue like the gay marriage issue to its advantage. How might it position itself so that that it might provide them with those crucial few hundred or few thousand votes that it needs in the end?
Well, it can be used in the so-called ground war, calling up voters to get them to come out. It can be used in media campaigns to talk about the position of the party or the position of the candidate, even in a pretty soft way. It doesn't have to be ham-handed or, you know, as long as the connection is made for the targets, either being the constituents or wavering swing voters.
Well, what about the issue of gay marriage? Let's talk a little bit about public opinion. Where is public opinion on that issue?
Well, I think it's safe to say that gay marriage is the social cultural issue of the current times. There's been the long-term trend is that there's much more tolerance and acceptance of homosexuality than there was in the 70s and 80s and even the 90s. But nonetheless, over the past year, there's been a lot of pushback and backlash on this, and it principally starts with the Supreme Court decision back in May, which legalized or decriminalized homosexuality, and we saw an immediate political reaction and an immediate reaction in public opinion. At the beginning of the year, in 2003, a 60% majority, 60 to 35% majority in the Gallup poll said they favored legalization of homosexuality. Once it was legalized, that fell to 48% favor, 48% oppose. Huh. Because what happened was the issue became politicalized and sermonized. The politicians took it up and the ministers took it up. Our survey in October found that the issue of homosexuality and perhaps gay marriage specifically is a top issue in terms of political sermons. It rivals abortion. It rivals school prayer. And most of the communication is negative about homosexuality in the Christian conservative churches.
And is there a difference in public opinion about homosexuality per se, or a person's right to be homosexuality, versus a person's right to actually be married in a gay marriage?
Well, there's more general acceptance of homosexuality than there is acceptance of religious marriage, because many people say marriage is a religious institution. These two things don't go together. But to a certain extent, when we ask people, why are you opposed to gay marriage, it has to do with tradition and social acceptance. Many of the older people, and it's mostly older people who overwhelmingly object, say it just ain't right. It doesn't feel right. So that's going to take time. But the religious pushback is real clear. We saw support for gay marriages fall from 38% in July to 32% in October. And it was mostly among people with strong religious commitment where we saw a change in attitudes toward gay marriages as the issue became politicized and, as I said, sermonized. But there's still a great deal more tolerance and acceptance of homosexuality, and there's a fair amount of ambivalence. If you look at the question of civil unions, 48% in our poll said they favor, 47% said they oppose, but in other polls where this is a question which says, should homosexual couples have the same rights as married heterosexual couples? In other polls where the pollsters ask, should homosexual couples have Social Security and health care just like heterosexual couples, majorities say yes. So again, it becomes a matter of legitimization more so than reaction to the denial of specific rights to homosexuals. This is a very emotional issue. It involves religion. It involves things, especially for older people, that are sort of in their bones. If you look at our report, and I hope your listeners will, and go to people-press.org, we have this wonderful table which shows the relationship by age, acceptance or opposition. And it's a straight line by age. This is an issue of generation.
We're talking about gay marriage as an election issue. If you'd like to join the discussion, it's 1-800-989-8255. My guest is Andy Kohut, and joining us now from his office here in Washington is Andrew Sullivan. He is the senior editor at the New Republic and author of the book Same-Sex Marriage, Pro and Con. Thanks for being with us, Andrew.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what's your reaction to what we've been hearing of some of Andy's findings regarding public opinion on gay marriage?
Well, they make a lot of sense to me, especially the fact that the younger generations are so different in this than the older ones. And also that the evangelical Christian community has clearly, this year at least, decided that this is going to be an issue on which they're going to make a lot of noise and make clear to their political representatives what they really feel. At the same time, I think that what's happening is not really, and what will happen in this election, is not really the issue of gay marriage as such. What's going to be at issue is whether there will be a constitutional amendment to the federal constitution to ban gay marriage. And that raises a whole lot of questions, which the simple question of same-sex marriage, state by state, doesn't do.
The constitutional, the question of whether or not there should be a constitutional amendment, you think is going to be the real wedge issue or the really difficult one for the candidates to have to, or at least the Republican, at least the president, I would say, then, to
well,
have to
it,
do?
Well, that's where the debate is headed. There has been an amendment introduced in the House and the Senate, and that's where most of the polling is now taking place. And that's what the president and the various leaders in various parties are having to grapple with. We may well get a ruling within the next 5 months or so. We'll know by May whether we will have marriage in one state, i.e. Massachusetts. And then the summer there will be a huge debate about whether that should stand, whether the constitution of the whole country should be amended to prevent Massachusetts doing that.
All right, let's see if we can get...
I think it's going to split both political coalitions, both Democrats and Republicans.
It's going to split them?
Yes, because very large numbers of people within the conservative movement are not that keen on amending the constitution to solve a social policy issue. You have people like even Dennis Hastert, the Speaker of the House, saying he's not interested in doing it right now. You have the president kicking the issue down the line by saying he would support it if necessary, but implying that it isn't necessary right now to do so. You have Dick Cheney, who opposes a constitutional amendment. And you have leading conservative thinkers like George Will or David Brooks also opposing it. So it doesn't become such an easy wedge issue for the right once the issue of the constitutional amendment itself comes into play.
All right, let's see if we can take a call. If you'd like to join our discussion, the number is 1-800-989-8255. And we're going to take a call from Alan in Boise, Idaho. Hi, Alan.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that it should be a big issue in the coming election. I hope the Democrats can use it to their advantage. I kind of think that everyone is kind of starting to lighten up about the whole gay issue, you know, why it's even an issue. And I think more older people and younger people are kind of seeing the light, and you know, they're not hurting anybody else. And
are you a Democrat, Alan?
Not really. No, I'm just kind of I'm kind of disenfranchised with the whole structure we got set up with the two parties. But
you think this is an issue the Democrats could use to energize voters?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, I don't like George Bush very much, and I'd like to get him out of office.
All right.
Can I ask you how old you are?
I'm 26.
Yeah. Your attitude is very much, it seems to me, common among 26-year-olds who have gay friends, who grew up at a time when gay people were not these demons out to destroy society. They recognize that there are regular gay people out there, and they're not harming anybody, and why shouldn't they be allowed to commit to one another just like anybody else? I mean,
right.
You know, over the weekend, Britney Spears got married for like 35 hours. but gay people have been together for 30, 40, 50 years don't even have a smidgen of the rights that Britney Spears exercised for 35 hours. That strikes most people in the generation, I think the under 40s, as just simply bizarre.
Yeah.
And I think that I think also the constitutional amendment, if pushed by Bush, will energize the gay community in an extremely powerful way and will rally all gay people behind an opponent to Bush, and will certainly make the position of gay Republicans impossible.
How do people in the gay community feel about the possibility of gay marriage being used as something of a political football in this campaign?
Well, I think we're pretty used to being kicked around as a political football, and definitely I think most of us would prefer it not be the case, that matters of civil rights be dealt with in a more sort of responsible manner. But, you know, we're grown-ups. We know this happens. And I think that many people, gay people under 40 who aren't necessarily hardline Democrats will nevertheless support the Democrats quite strongly, not just in votes but in a lot of money, if they feel that the Republican Party is trying to disenfranchise them in the Constitution.
So you think Democrats should actively, well, of course, you probably don't, but I mean, would it be a good strategy for the Democrats to actively go after those kinds of voters, Republicans who, you know, gay voters who might normally vote Republican, but this issue might push them into the Democratic
Party? Oh, yes, and I think they will. I think there were a million gay votes for George Bush last time around. And I can tell you quite clearly that if he were to endorse and support in the election campaign a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage, then he'd lose almost every single one of them. And not only that, but galvanize them into fundraising and organizing and energized for almost certainly Howard Dean.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Andrew.
You're welcome.
Andrew Sullivan is a senior editor at The New Republic, and he writes widely on same-sex issues. His books include Same-Sex Marriage, Pro and Con, and his blog is andrewsullivan.com. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. We're talking about the issue of gay marriage and how it might play out politically this year. How important will it be to you when you go to vote in November? A bit later in the show, we'll be joined by Talk of the Nation's Neal Conan. He's in Des Moines, Iowa, getting ready to host NPR's Democratic Candidates Debate. We want to hear from you on that, too. What would you like to hear in tomorrow's debate? Give us a call at 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. Still with me to continue the discussion on gay marriage is Andrew Kohut, director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. Let's take a call from Tim in Washington, D.C. Hi, Tim.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I just see a lot of political wind wasted on this if people spend a lot of time debating it. Personally, I don't see what objection people could have to gay marriage. Your point a minute ago about Britney Spears is very germane. I mean, and I had a knee-jerk reaction against gay marriage when it was first brought up as an issue not too long ago. on the grounds that, well, you know, a male and a female, or I guess gays, you know, a gay couple could have used this by, you know, getting together and claiming that they were gay, even if they weren't, and taking advantage of the benefits offered. And then I realized, well, you know, a heterosexual couple can do the same thing. So that was the only problem that I had with it. And once I got over that, I was like, why are we even talking about it?
So it just doesn't seem important to you at all, in terms of, certainly in terms of presidential politics.
Well, and in terms of constitutional amendments, that they would waste the time and energy. And frankly, I think it'll go exactly the other direction. I think they'd have had as much luck trying to get segregation constitutionally amended, you know, and it would have been fought tooth and nail with good reason, and eventually been overturned, as will this.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call, Tim.
Sure.
Andy Cohut, let's react. I'd like to get your reaction to that call, and just to the whole idea of how important this issue really is. I wonder the same thing, given what's going on in the world right now, the situation in Iraq, the economy, health care, all of these things. How important is this issue, really, ultimately?
My guess is that this is going to have much to do with the election of George W. Bush or whoever his opponent is.
It isn't?
It's not. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Second-term elections are referendums on presidential performance, and the big issues are going to be the war on terrorism, Iraq, the economy, domestic issues. That isn't to say that it can't be used politically as a second-tier issue in the classic way that wedge issues are used, but this would have been a better issue if it had been as prominent one back in 2000 when we had two non-incumbents running. But I don't think that in the big mix of things, when we ask that question in our exit polls, why did you vote for Bush or why did you vote for whoever, it's going to have to do much with gay marriage.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't polls showing that the country is as divided today politically as it was in the last election, that we're still very evenly divided between the Democrats and the Republicans?
Well, in point of fact, we're more divided. The country's pretty evenly split in terms of partisanship, but Republicans and Democrats are differing to a greater extent on a whole range of issues and philosophies. In fact, the greatest single difference that we have now, this is a period where the religious differences between Republicans and Democrats are at an all-time high. Back in 1985 or 87, when we started our political value surveys, as we call them, there weren't big differences between Republicans and Democrats on average on religion, but there sure are now. There's a yawning gap between Republicans and Democrats, especially between conservative Republicans and liberal Democrats.
All right, let's turn to another guest. Joining us from his office in Alexandria, Virginia, is Richard Lesner. He's the executive director of the American Conservative Union. Thanks for being with us today.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
Now, I know you've expressed some concern that President Bush is not being forceful enough in expressing his opposition to gay marriage. What has he said so far that you have concerns about, and what do you really want to hear the president say about this issue?
Well, I would cast it a little bit differently. I would not cast it in the negative and say we've been critical of the president for not expressing support for an amendment against gay marriage. The American Conservative Union has not actually endorsed a federal marriage amendment. We think there are intermediate steps that could be taken legally to protect and preserve marriage as the union of one man and one woman. But we do think that the president has to be very attentive to his political base. And for a significant number of Republican voters, this is a fundamental issue. This is a defining issue. The defense of marriage is a cultural matter of great import. And for those voters, the overwhelming number of whom, of course, support the president, this is going to be a very important issue. So they'd like to see the president more forthcoming in terms of asserting a positive argument on behalf of marriage, for asserting its critical role in our social structure and for its historical importance for our culture, and that we'd like to see the president be a little bit more aggressive in asserting the need to preserve marriage as the fundamental social institution.
Who are these voters who care so deeply about this issue, that this issue is so important to?
Well, the first rule, of course, in politics is protect your base. And as your other guest was just mentioning, there's a great divide between the two parties on matters of values and faith. And the Democratic Party has become a very secularized party. It's a very post-Christian party. Its worldview is very secular and is not much informed by faith. Whereas the Republican base, of course is supportive of the president, still is very much informed by traditional values, by traditional Judeo-Christian morality, still expresses a heartfelt faith in God. And for those voters and for that political base, the issue of marriage is non-negotiable.
Yeah.
And they will expect that the president will mount a positive affirmation of marriage and its importance in our society.
And how important will they be as a voting bloc, do you think, if this issue is so important to them?
Well, this issue is like a lot of the social issues, so-called, whether it's abortion and the right to life or the place of faith in society and school prayer and public expressions of faith, that for a relatively small number but highly motivated voters, these are extraordinarily important issues. You know, the larger number of voters, of course, are going to cast their votes on the basis of our foreign policy, the condition of our war in Iraq, the state of the economy preeminently. But there are significant segments, smaller segments of voters who are highly motivated on much narrower set of issues, including such issues as the preservation of marriage. And those are the supporters that tend to be your ground troops. They're the folks who are out there knocking on doors and turning out the vote, and they're the contributors, and so they're the highly motivated troops in the campaign. And those are the supporters that the president's going to need. You know, Karl Rove to this day continues to lament the 4 to 6 million evangelical votes that supposedly were left on the table in 2000, votes that could have made the difference in the president winning the popular vote instead of losing it to Al Gore, votes that could have swung some of those states that the president lost very narrowly. So they're important votes, and they're going to be highly motivated by the position that the president takes or the position he doesn't take on the issue of marriage.
Andy Kohut, you were just saying before that we are a very divided country politically. So is what Mr. Lessner's saying seems to be saying that this could end up being significant with a significant number of voters?
It could, and there's a component of the Republican base that his description fits just perfectly. But there's another element. When you have an issue that is as emotional as this, there's the other side, and there's two kinds of other sides. There's Democrats, liberal Democrats, who can get energized in opposition, and there's also libertarian independents who lean Republican, who might become worried about personal freedoms if the Republicans and the president pushes too hard in this issue. And so, yes, it can be used. This issue can be used very much so to the Christian conservative wing of the Republican Party. But it can be a two-edged sword.
Okay, thanks so much for joining us today, Mr. Lessner.
My pleasure.
Richard Lessner is the executive director of the American Conservative Union. He joined us from his office in Alexandria, Virginia. We are talking about gay marriage as a political issue. If you'd like to join the discussion, it's 1-800-989-8255. We're going to take a call from Bambi in California. Hi, Bambi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I think it's an important issue for discussion in that it gives the voter a unique insight into the candidate's perspective on things that are relevant beyond just the gay marriage issue, things like tolerance as a whole, the government's right to legislate their morality dependent on the current administration's morality, and these are relevant to foreign policy and the happiness of the American public at large.
Andy, what's your reaction to that?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, it's not only this issue, but what the issue says about either the state of religion in public life, if you're on one side of the equation, or personal freedoms, if you're on the other side of the debate. And the symbolic nature of this issue, as well as its substantive nature, won't be lost on voters.
Okay, thanks for your call, Bambi.
Thank you.
We have an email now from Mike Flynn in St. Louis, Missouri. He says, marriage in this country is both a religious and legal commitment. Why haven't candidates separated these two? For example, a candidate could be in favor of a legal marriage institution but opposed to gay marriage in a religious context. I wonder, Andy, if people who really care about this issue would just think that was kind of waffling a bit.
I think they would see it as cutting it a little more finely than they do.
So that means that the candidates are going to have to take a pretty clear stand on this.
I think so. Although there is some wiggle room, and I thought that the president a few weeks ago, he sort of waffled on the civil unions deal. I can't remember exactly how he said it, but it made it clear that you know, he wasn't completely one way on that issue.
Yeah, and I wonder too if this is not the kind of issue that can become a real political minefield, in the sense that it may not be a huge issue, it may not be on the radar of many, many people, but if the president or whoever's the Democratic nominee missteps or misspeaks, say in a debate, we know that Howard Dean, of course, has been known to sort of make off the cuff remarks that have come back to haunt him. If they make a mistake on this, it could become a bigger issue.
That's right. It can take on a life of its own, because the people who are listening to this closely have very big mouths.
Okay. We're talking about gay marriage as a political issue. The number is 1-800-989-8255. And joining us now from his office in Marblehead, Massachusetts, is Democratic consultant Michael Goldman. He's worked on a number of presidential campaigns, including that of Michael Dukakis in 1988 and Bill Bradley's campaign in 2002. Welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure.
Now, you say that gay marriage will be a huge wedge issue in the presidential campaign. Is that right?
I do believe that, and I believe it'll be a wedge issue utilizing the ability the Republicans have exhibited in the past to not have their fingerprints on the major issue. If one takes a look at, for example, how effectively the Bush campaign was able to destroy John McCain in South Carolina without having a single fingerprint on their campaign, and yet getting out the idea that a man who was, quite frankly, anti-gay rights, pro-gun, anti-abortion, pro the death penalty, was, quote, too liberal for South Carolina, you begin to see how effective that third voice can be. And, of course, in 1988, when I worked for Michael Dukakis, people don't know that the famous Willie Horton ad that people still talk about was not produced by the Republican Party, but by a quote-unquote third group, which put the issue in play, and it forced Dukakis to deal with it. So I can see the Republicans, just for the reasons that the head of your last guest said, you know, he talks about the fact that there were votes of evangelicals left on the table. Well, part of the reason they were left on the table is because Bush wanted to be a compassionate conservative. If he moves too far to the right to appease them, he loses then, as your guest just pointed out, that moderate Republican or the libertarian Republican who says, listen, I'm for no taxes, but I'm also, I don't want anybody in my bedroom. And in Massachusetts, for example, where I am, former Governor Bill Weld just today, again, reaffirmed his support for the legislature retaining gay marriage in Massachusetts and not doing anything to the decision made by the state Supreme Court. He and along six other quote-unquote Republican leaders signed a letter together saying don't change the thing. So there were losses there for the Republicans too, and for Bush if he goes too far to the right.
Yeah, and I think that the assumption many people have is that this issue might help out the Republicans the most with their base, with their particularly their evangelical Christian base. But what about the Democrats? How can they use this issue, do you think, to their advantage?
Well, they can do it. It's a couple of things. Number one, obviously, when you have any wedge issue like this, the Democrats would much prefer to talk about the failure to succeed in Afghanistan or the failure of the economy to produce jobs. That's where they're going to want this debate to be. They're not going to want it on something in any way, shape, or manner which says to voters, A, the candidate doesn't understand about you, doesn't care about you, and can't do anything for you. Most people, when in the polling that I've seen, the national polling that I've seen, and again, your guest is much more apt to be able to answer this, but most people want this to be a personal, private issue. And I'm going to take it a step back, something that some of your listeners probably don't know. And that was the huge split between 1900 and 1910 in the women's movement, the movement that had come together with the Southern women joining with Northern women for the right to vote, which eventually is awarded in the 1919 for the 1920 election. In that period of time, there's an enormous split between the women from the South who support the right of women to vote, but are appalled at the fact that Northern women are supporting the horror of divorce, that what God has brought together, let no man bring asunder. Almost the same exact language that we're hearing now in this issue of gay marriage. You can go back historically and take a look. That's what they talked about when the idea that a woman how could they possibly get a right to divorce when it's a religious, it's a sanctified union of God? How can you possibly allow someone to break?
Okay, Michael, I'm going to try and get a call in here before we have to go for a break. Michael Goldman is a Democratic consultant in Massachusetts, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're going to take a call now from Charles in San Antonio. Hi, Charles.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was wondering, the conservative guest you had on just a moment ago was making a good point that for the lack of a better term, the agenda that conservatives had have been the ones who have really been working the voting booths. I'm wondering, we have seen and heard so much reporting of liberal or left-leaning politically minded folks, women, minorities, staying away from the polls and simply not voting. How does this issue really bring them back to the polls? We've not really talked about the fact that there's been a lot of disenfranchised moderate voters out there. And I'm wondering how this is an issue that's going to bring them back. I think it should, but I'm not sure how that's going
to
happen.
Andy, what do you think?
Only if it becomes defined as a personal challenge to personal freedoms could it become an effective drawing card for moderate voters.
I agree completely. As a matter of fact, I would add one other thing to that, and that is, unless, of course, they have somebody in their family directly impacted by it, otherwise people don't even want to deal with the issue.
Okay, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
All right, so just one final question, Andy Kohut. Just in the scheme of things, why don't you just sum up where you think this kind of an issue, this gay marriage issue, will fit in this coming election?
Well, I think it can fit in as a motivator for various constituencies. I think it could have more of an effect down the ballot than on presidential choice. I think presidential choice has thumbs up or thumbs down on George W. Bush. And that ain't much about this.
All right. Thanks so much, Andy. Andy Kohut is the director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. We were also joined by Michael Goldman, a Democratic consultant in Massachusetts.